Good morning. And welcome to anyone who's visiting this morning. I hope you enjoy your time with us. And please join us in the small hall after the service for tea and coffee, and a light lunch will be served. We'll meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15. And this week, please hold in your prayers the folks in the community, and especially those in McNiven Court. Coffee morning, as usual, in St Ninian's every Tuesday, 10 a.m. till 11:30. And this coming week, the Hope Cafe, Thursday, 3rd October, 10 till 2 p.m. in the Church Hall. There'll be a finance meeting on Thursday, the 3rd of October, at 7 p.m. And the bags for Sunday school collected on Thursday, the 3rd of October, but they can be handed in to the Church Hall on Wednesday, the 2nd, between 6:30 and 9 p.m. The Avondale LEAP hands-on project, they're organising a Stonehouse supper club for over 50s. Good, I qualify. On Thursday, the 3rd of October, 5:30 to 7:30 in the Church Hall. If you know anyone who's lonely or would just like to come along and socialise with some company and some food, transport is available. The details are on notice board as you go into the hall. There's no charge, it's totally free. And then next Sunday, there's the night church on 6th of October, 7:30 to 9. All are welcome. Come in, sit, reflect, stay as long as you like. And there's a short reflection at the end of the evening. There'll be a board and session meeting on Monday, 7th October, 7 p.m. and the Guild meeting, 14th October, 7:30 in Church Hall. Please come along to that, if you'll be very welcome. The speaker this time is from the Glasgow City Mission. The book group meet on Sunday, the 20th of October, 7:30 in the Church Hall, and the book for this month is Knots and Crosses by Ian Rankin. There are still upper room daily reading books available in the vestibule at £2 each. I've been asked to intimate an evening with Maud Kells, as the lady who spent a great deal of time in Angola. She's written a book, and the book is being publicised, if you like, on Thursday, the 3rd of October, at the Globe Bookshop in Motherwell. This is part of the programme for the Christian Bookshop Day on Saturday, the 5th of October. There's a leaflet on the board. If you know of anyone who's ill or in hospital, please let Anne Anderson know and we'll send flowers and visit. And finally, a reminder about the fire drill. We were going to hold it this morning, but we didn't want to disappoint Gillian. So we'll hold it another day. But a reminder, when the fire drill happens, you have to vacate the premises as quickly as you can by, oh, I hate doing this, by the nearest exit. And please assemble on the grass outside the front of the church. I've also been asked by the health and safety convener to say, if we do have one, don't jump into your car and drive away, please. Come back into church. Thank you very much. Gillian.
Oh, working? We on? Thank you. Morning. I feel like I should be selling tickets in the hydro with this, Mike. And Bill, the Leap Supper Club, you can go. I can't. I've got 22 days to go. In God's world, everyone is welcome. In God's house, everyone is welcome. At God's table, everyone is welcome. At God's feast, everyone is welcome. Do not stand at the doorstep. Come on in and enjoy. As with all our hymns today, we will stand as able. And our first hymn is CH4124, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, maker of heaven and earth, you gave life to all that is seen and all that is hidden. You see that everything is good. Ears to hear, lips to speak, hands to touch, noses to smell. You gave us all that we would need to be aware of the world you created. A world where there are rich and poor, but a world where there is a huge chasm. Forgive us, God, for the times when we fail to notice the need of the man begging on the street, the pain of the woman who has lost her husband, the stress of the parent trying to provide for their child, the sight of a child dying of hunger. O God, help us to desire to become aware of the world around us, to react and engage with the people we meet. God of grace and mercy, hear our prayers this day as we join together in the words you taught us to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd now like to invite Douglas to come and do a reading for us.
The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 16, verses 16 to 31, and is about the rich man and Lazarus. There was once a rich man who dressed in the most expensive clothes and lived in great luxury every day. There was also a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who used to be brought to the rich man's door, hoping to eat the bits of food that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the feast in heaven. The rich man died and was buried. And in Hades, where he was in great pain, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called out, "Father Abraham, take pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and cool off my tongue, because I'm in great pain in this fire." But Abraham said, "Remember, my son, that in your lifetime you were given all things, while Lazarus got all the bad things. But now he's enjoying himself here while you are in pain. Beside all that, there's a deep pit lying between us, so that those who want to cross over here to you cannot do so, nor can anyone cross over to us from where you are." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him go and warn them, so that they at least will not come to this place in pain." Abraham said, "Your brothers have Moses and the prophets to warn them. Your brother should listen to what they say." The rich man answered, "That's not enough, Father Abraham. But if someone were to rise from death and go to them, then they would turn from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone were to rise from death."
The children's talk has now become an all-age talk. Because there's no children. That may be good, please, Anne. Yeah, yeah, my lovely, glamorous assistants. Okay, we're playing with water. Right, I suppose I better put this here. Right, okay. And we've got jugs. Right, remember to put them up the table. Another one. Okay. Right, can anybody tell me what this is?
Water.
Cup. A cup. Okay. So if I was taking this out and I was going on my run, to make sure that it didn't spill out, what would I do? Put a lid on it. That's it. Okay, right, here we go. So, what does the lid do? Right, stops water coming out. Okay, so I need more water than that, so I'm going to fill it. So I need to take the lid off. Okay. Right, sorry, I'm all over the place here. Right, okay. Right, now the problem with putting the lid on is that I can't fill up what's in the cup. And today, Douglas read for us about the rich man who had lots of riches and he was really wealthy and yet he didn't help the poor. So he was kind of like a cup with his lid right on because he wouldn't let anything out. He didn't give anything away. He kept his lid on. And sometimes I think we go through life, we see things with people, like we see the homeless and we see the poor, and sometimes we can keep the lid on and we just think it's not our problem. There's other people that can help. And as far as like the poor people go, it's too vast for us to even try and make a difference. So leave that to the government, leave that to the agencies, and we'll just go about with our lid firmly on top. But in the Bible, Jesus is saying that we should be going out with our lid open. And in doing that, the Holy Spirit will fill it up, will fill us up to make us more kind, more compassionate, more caring. And we then go out into the community and pour out the things that God has filled our lives with, to be kind to people, to be generous, to not keep the lid on, and to look for things and make a difference. And when it's empty, the Holy Spirit will just constantly top us up. So today, I was asking that we go out from here and we make sure that that lid is off, because the Holy Spirit will constantly fill your cup to spill out into the community and help those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And if we can make a difference to one person, if each of us could make a difference to one person, then look at the many people that we could help. Just with the people that are in here today. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're now going to sing Running Over. And I was hoping that the kids would be here so we could, but you probably know the actions for Running Over. So could I ask you to stand and we will sing Running Over. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our lives, values, and beliefs get shaped by stories we believe, especially if they have a sound and or a feel of our life about them, which makes it much easier for us to identify with them. In my life, I have been at different times. The prodigal daughter, the big sister, and the worrying and waiting mum. And so probably have many of you. We've all been the man in the ditch, the busy priest and Levite, and hopefully the good Samaritan. Most of us make assumptions. We make assumptions about what we are, where we are going, and how other people see us. We make assumptions about other people. Some of our assumptions come from educated guesses, others from ignorance, and others from information which has been passed on to us. One of my friends, who also owns a touring caravan, told me that her and her partner look at other tourers and make up stories about what they think their lives are like. Obviously, watching them put up an awning is a good guide to make assumptions about the state of the relationship. Many of Jesus' parables are about blowing apart our assumptions and shattering our religious myths. Jesus tries to reorganize our hearts, souls, and minds by challenging our view of the world today. In today's parable, Jesus attacks the love of money above acting justly. We read the story about Lazarus and the rich man, who, it struck me immediately, wasn't given a name. Many years later, when the church began to speak Latin, the rich man was given a name, Dives, meaning rich. But Jesus only names one person, Lazarus. This is the only story in the teachings of Jesus where one of the characters is given a name. Lazarus means God helps. And that is what the Bible says repeatedly about the poor. God cares for and wants to help them. God is always on the side of those in need. The beggar man having a name and leaving the rich man nameless turns the usual world's standards around. In our world, wealth buys fame and influence, while the poor in our society remain anonymous, faceless. How do we gauge how wealthy we are? Is it how much we have in the bank? Our family? Our friends? Our health? How big our house we have, or what car we drive? If we had to assume about ourselves, what would we say? Would we say we were wealthy or poor? The average income varies vastly around the world. The average income for one person in Monaco is £150,000. In the UK, it is around £29,000. In Ethiopia, it is £637. So how do we compare our wealth? Is it with the rich and famous in our society, or the anonymous, nameless, poor people? In this parable, Jesus tells us how he sees things. The name Lazarus may surprise us, if not disturb us. Once again, the kingdom of God turns our ideas inside out and upside down. Some things that may not be obvious in this life are, in this parable, revealed after death. Jesus is not trying to portray what life will be like after we die. He is using colourful images about how we use our wealth. We are not told much about the mortality and way of life of Lazarus and the rich man. We consider that the rich man is very rich. It is noticed that he is dressed in purple. Purple, if you know your ancient fabrics, was the most expensive dye you could buy. It was, and still is, associated with royalty. Not only does the reading tell us that the rich man wears purple, but also that his cloth is of the finest linen, and that he feasts sumptuously every day. We do not know how this man came about his wealth, and there is nothing to lead us to suspect him of any dishonesty. Jesus' audience included the Pharisees, Jewish leaders who loved their money, and they probably thought that the rich man was okay. According to some readings in the Old Testament, we could argue that this man's wealth stemmed from God and therefore indicated that God favoured him. This is an assumption that Jesus is about to blow out of the water. Lazarus, we are told, is a beggar who lay at the gate of the rich man. Did Lazarus choose this place to beg in the hope that the rich man or one of his guests would take pity on him and provide him with food? We are told Lazarus was hungry and fed on scraps which fell from the table of the rich man, and that dogs came to lick the sores of Lazarus. Usually it was the dogs who ate the scraps underneath the table. By bringing the dogs into the story at this point, it is possible that Jesus is implying that the rich man saw Lazarus as lower than the dogs. The image of the dogs licking Lazarus' sores may appear to us as being totally undignified. However, there is another possibility. Is Jesus trying to infer that the dogs are more compassionate than the rich man? Dogs lick their wounds, and there is some ancient evidence that the saliva of dogs was considered medicinal. In other words, Jesus is reversing the assumptions and judgment of the crowd. It is not Lazarus who is lower than the dogs, but the rich man, because the dogs showed compassion towards Lazarus, while the rich man didn't. Both men died. They always do. Though we do expect it more of Lazarus. He is hungry, defenseless even amongst the dogs who roam the streets, let alone the diseases from malnutrition. The rich man had plenty to eat, warm clothes to wear, and probably the best doctor in town who would be constantly at his beck and call. Death, however, is a great way of proving we are all equal. It laughs at our divisions, our wealth, our background, our status. The story tells us one man went to Hades while the other didn't. Abraham's bosom or side may mean heaven or God's presence, or just a way of telling us that Lazarus was united with the father of the Hebrews, that he too is one of the chosen despite his poverty and his hunger. The man with no name isn't reunited with Abraham, but lives in torment, a place of agony and accountability. Here he is in Hades, and there is a chasm. A chasm is described as a place between heaven and Hades. Or is Hades a chasm dug by a rich man? All his days, the rich man ignored Lazarus and other beggars. Well, now he got what he wanted, a permanent distance, not only from Lazarus, but from God. Even in torment, the rich man still perceives that Lazarus is lower than him. He expects Lazarus to serve him by bringing him water. The rich man pleads that someone be sent to his father's home to warn his five brothers so that they do not end up in the same place as his brother. Abraham tells him they have had plenty of opportunity to act. They have lived amongst poverty and hunger. They haven't listened to Moses or the prophets, so someone returning from the dead still won't convince them. Jesus is not Charles Dickens. Dickens had Scrooge change his life after Christmas Eve visits from the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. It is a great story and we love it. In real life, sins of callousness usually don't have a happy ending. The problem with the rich man was that he had all the information. Moses, the prophets, human need. This story should bother us. It's on the lips of Jesus and it won't go away. How do we respond to beggars at our gate? Beggars in our community, in third world countries, in refugee camps. About a quarter of the world's population are like Lazarus, poor and hungry. We are the rich man. In this parable, Jesus warns us against two things. Apathy. There is no contact at all between these two men. The rich man had resources to help, but he didn't care. The rich man's sin wasn't caused because of Lazarus' hunger, or that he kicked him as he walked through the gate every day, or that he mistreated him in any way. His sin is not that he did bad things to Lazarus. His sin is because he did nothing to help. He ended up separated from God, not because of crimes against the poor, hungry man, but because he just didn't care. Some of us are tempted to forget about the poor and hungry in our society. Let the government deal with it. Let the agencies deal with it. It's their problem. I don't have the time or the energy. It's not my problem. And Lazarus, who needs a hand out, then a hand up, gets only crumbs from a table, if he's lucky. He gets so little that he can't ever get out of the poverty trap. The story also warns us about acceptance. Lazarus had become part of the scenery, just a blip on the landscape. He was there every day, catching scraps of bread, longing for more. The rich man could have thought, oh, well, it's just the way things are, and, you know, that's life. C'est la vie. Do we get to this point as we get weary of Lazarus? Do we feel, what good can we do in the face of such a massive need? The numbers play in our consciences. 730 million people wake up every morning with little hope of having enough to eat. Put them in single file and they circle the globe 25 times. Around 400 will starve to death by the time it has taken me to preach this sermon. In a world where the world produces 1.5 times enough food to feed absolutely everyone, why do so many go hungry? Why do so many die of starvation? They are so poor they cannot afford to buy food, while many of us have too much food that ends up going in the bin costing lots and lots of money. Lazarus, the great need that is Lazarus, wears us down. It's so much easier just to give up, to accept the tragedy of hunger, to let the faceless and the anonymous fade away into the background. As I illustrated earlier, we can't fill a cup when the lid is firmly on top. Will we allow ourselves to take the lid off our cups and let the Holy Spirit keep topping us up as we pour it out to others? As Christians, we can make a difference. We should feel uncomfortable about the tragedy of hunger. We can't just accept the situation of Lazarus as inevitable and unchangeable. Jesus warns us not to quit caring or quit doing. Lazarus still lies at gates in our community and needs a hand. Will he take it if I offer it? Will she use the help wisely? Many will, some won't, but that's not my choice. My choice as a Christian with resources is to extend my hand. It is to offer my voice for Lazarus in a world which doesn't know his or her name, doesn't see his or her face. What other proof do we need about heaven and living in eternity and that of living in torment? What choices do we have? We are the five brothers of the rich man. We who are alive have been warned about our situation now. The parable makes it clear. We have Moses and the prophets. We have the Bible, in which we read time and time again about God's care for the poor and the hungry. We've even had someone who has risen from the dead. The question is, will we, the five brothers and sisters, see? Will we heed the warning before it's too late? Only God can judge. In our heads, we know this to be true, but most of us will have a go nonetheless. So in our own harshness, are we prepared to ask ourselves, have we done all that we could? Did we set out the stall properly? Did we challenge or cajole? Did we love and love and love again? When our neighbour falls, is our first question, what more could I have done? Or are we too busy condemning to admit capability? Can we share the riches of our table with those who are used to the dregs and keep the channels of grace open to all in the knowledge that God comes in the strangest of garbs and dines with the sinner and with the saint, inviting both to find a home in the incredible, welcoming arms of God? The time to decide is now. To leave here with our lids off and spill into the needs of our community and beyond. I know. I see. I will respond. I will be faithful. Now, before it's too late. Amen. Our next hymn is CH4544, When I Needed a Neighbour. Thank you. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Our offering will now be uplifted. Lord Jesus, as you fed 5,000 from the gifts of a young boy, we pray that you will transform our gifts to spiritually feed many spiritually hungry people through the ministry and mission of this church and beyond. Amen. Our next hymn is CH4 502, Take This Life and Let It Be.
Thank you. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for all who are looking for a sense of purpose in their lives, all who search for spiritual fulfillment and long to find you for themselves. We remember today all those weighed down by the stresses and strains of daily life, those who long for peace of mind. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the weak and vulnerable in our world, those who feel powerless in the face of massive problems, for the poor, the hungry, the diseased, and the dying. We pray for the oppressed, the exploited, the abused, the tortured, the lonely, and the hurt. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those who are denied access to the things in life we take for granted, food and clothing, a basic education, proper housing, liberty, freedom of speech, justice. Help all who fight to make our world a more equal place, who labour to give them help and hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we remember those in our community who have been bereaved. We bring before you all those who are unwell and undergoing treatment. Give them strength during these difficult times. We pray for those who feel themselves denied access to you. May all who seek your presence and all who long for your love find in Jesus Christ the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. And thanks, Douglas, for the reading as well. So the mic was off, so you never heard me. And thank you, Lindsay, for playing that through the offering. It was amazing. Thank you so much. Our last hymn is CH4, 465, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
have sung the songs. We have heard the story. We will go and be generous. We have met our friends. We have smiled at strangers. We will go and be generous. We have said our prayers. We have made our promises. We will go and be generous. And now the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.